get what you missed on Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on this Tuesday morning. Roo, making news around the place. Now, the West Coast Eagles saga. This goes back to the days of Ben Cousins and Chris Judd and Chris Mainwaring and the like. When I throw Chris Judd into the mix, I mean he was playing there at the time. But a big report's been released, hasn't it?
It has been released. A retired Supreme Court judge did a... what would you call
major
it?
Major investigation.
Investigation into the whole club back in 2008. And... exposed basically what we already know, except probably it was covered up a little bit more until they got knocked out of the finals in 2007.
He's been very critical of John Worsfold, of Trevor Nesbitt, who was the CEO at the time. He has had a crack at Chris Judd, believe it or not. Chris Judd at the time, one of the comments he made was that the drug policy is very intrusive and it's not fair on the players. And this judge has come out and said, well, bad luck. And, you know, for a senior player, that's not a smart thing to say, sort of thing. Anyway, but let's move on to yesterday. And there's more news about Ben Cousins, who's actually inside at the moment.
Well, he's had a month in the slammer. A lot of people would say, well, that's exactly what he needs to try and kick the habit. And apparently they've got a place for him in a sort of like a home detention rehab facility. And they tapped his phone calls while he was inside, and he was overheard saying to his dad that I'm happy to go and to do the rehab as a, you know, as a bit of a way of getting out of here. Not because he wants to do rehab, because he actually doesn't. He's also overheard saying that I don't want to get off the drugs. I have a little bit of it and it makes me feel normal. I'm not going to stop and I don't want to stop. His exact words.
I think you'll find there was a parole hearing where his lawyers said he's prepared to go and do 6 months of rehab.
Dressed it up as rehab.
Prosecution came out and said, hang on, we've got phone taps. He's saying, no, he's not prepared to get off the gear. And he said, I'll do a month of rehab just to make it look good.
Yeah, he actually told his father, I'm happy for you to dress it up as rehab.
Yeah.
Which is very sad. Obviously, he's that far gone that he doesn't even realise it, or he's not that far gone and just doesn't want to give up. Which it could be either, but, you know, shouldn't be surprised, unfortunately, of either where he's at. So it continues to be a sad story, doesn't it?
Very, very sad. Now, in the world of politics, yesterday, Pauline Hanson was explaining maternity leave.
A few things in it, even the maternity leave, I think that needs to be addressed, and especially one aspect of it. If you work one day a week, 8 hours a day, 8 hours for 1 week, over a period of a year, you can actually receive 20 years... I'll just repeat that. And then if you do one day of work a week, that's 8 hours for a year, you can get 20 years paid maternity leave for a year. Sorry, guys. I'm just not with it.
Now, I'm going to get pregnant in that case. If I can get 20 years worth, bloody hell.
I'm happy to have twins or triplets.
I really am.
Yeah, she's had a little bad patch, hasn't she, Pauline? Fair to say, the last few weeks.
Would that be a please explain?
She tried to please explain it, but she still couldn't do it. So
got a bit.
Anyway, she gave up because she was just having a bad day.
That's right.
Now we heard about the lad who thought he'd impress his mates. Trying to go for a bit of a dive in the croc-infested waters.
Yeah.
A bit more's come out about it.
I started telling them about how backpackers are more likely to get eaten by a crocodile than Australians. So we decided to go down to the river and test the theory.
I just carried him walking with him so that he wasn't on his own. And that was when he kind of said, I'm going to do this. And I just was in complete and utter disbelief.
They're very discerning crocodiles. They only like the Brits, apparently, backpackers.
But that's the sort of conversation you have at 2 a.m.
I mean, for God's sake. So it turns out he was trying to impress this girl.
Yes. Funnily enough, it all gets back to trying to pick up a girl.
That's right.
Wasn't anything to do with his mates. Him and his mates had no better, but It's worth a punt.
If I have to jump into croc-infested waters, I'll stay single.
I'll lose a leg for this backpacker.
Oh, gee.
I'll have a go.
Anyway, and it turns out the poor bloke's gone in. He's been ripped to shreds, comes out and she says, I'm not impressed. So it's backfired terribly.
It's backfired terribly. Yeah. Right?
Anyway, that's what's making news around the place. Hey, Todd Sampson is going to join us shortly. Now, you know, we've spoken to him quite a bit. We've seen him on Gruen and different shows over the years. The new show, it's on the ABC tonight. Now, I've seen the shorts of this, Roo. It's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Good.
Yeah, very, very good. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7.54 for Adelaide Tools every Tuesday morning, Roo. This man joins us from Channel 10's The Project. Pete Hellier, good morning.
Morning, guys. And can I just say straight off the bat, it's great to see Triple M finally embracing the Foo Fighters. Well done, guys.
mate, we've embraced it, all right? Don't worry about that. We even had ZZ Top on the other day. We're right up with it.
Finally.
We've got to give Barnsley a break sometimes.
Gets a sore throat.
He's been working hard all these years. He's got on Triple M.
Hard to make a living. What have you been up to, Pete?
Well, I just want to kick off, guys, with a new segment. It might be only a one-week segment, but it's embarrassing dad of the week. And listen, I like embarrassing my kids as much as I can, but I thought Bill Shorten won the prize this week. I'm not sure if you saw it. He was Arnold Schwarzenegger was visiting Melbourne. I'm not sure if he's made his way across the rest of the country or not. But for the Arnie Classic, which is not a golf tournament, it's a body sculpting tournament, I'm told. But for some reason,
are you involved in that?
No, I missed out. The skin folds just—I couldn't get them right.
I didn't get through qualifying either. Actually,
they used Barbie tongs on your skin folds, didn't they, Pete?
Barbecue tongs, mate. Barbecue tongs. Bill Shorten, for some reason, was there. I'm not sure if he was competing or not. But he needs
to do a bit of body sculpting as well with his man boobs.
He approached Arnie. And he was already with his daughter, his 7-year-old daughter, waiting on FaceTime. I think we have a clip.
How are you enjoying your visit, Nani? This is my 7-year-old daughter.
Very nice. Look at what a cutie. Hi.
Very nice. What a kid.
What was the point? I mean, I'm sure your 7-year-old daughter's a big Predator fan. I'm not sure.
Exactly. She probably hadn't even heard of him.
I mean, Carrie, we'll speak about last time on the project. Carrie made the point that she might be a kindergarten cop fan, but still, I mean, you know, come on, Bill. We know you're a family man, but come on. Hey, another thing that's happening in my world at the moment, my oldest son, Liam, went away on a school camp overnight.
Mm.
And
did you get that rain in Melbourne that we had yesterday here?
Well, this is the thing. It hasn't rained here for, like, seriously, like 3 weeks. It's been like the best month of summer, even though it's autumn in the last month. It's been like between 28 and 35 degrees every day for the last month. He goes camping. They're actually camping in tents, and it pissed down all night.
There's only one way to describe it.
There was lightning, and he hates lightning. So I was almost trying to do the Jedi mind trick, just going, you know, be brave, son, be brave. You know, you rise to challenges. Trying to mentally go, you know, because we've got no contact with him. So it reminded me, we had pretty good school excursions, but we had a school camp. So there was one school excursion that didn't quite cut the mustard for me. We went to it was during kindergarten. We went to, I think it was my first school excursion ever. We went to a double-decker bus. So we jumped on a bus to go to bus depot, where we jumped on a double-decker bus, and then were told that because there was only one teacher, nobody was allowed on the top level.
Oh, that, what? Get out of there.
What?
Why do you put the teacher up on the top?
Well, that's it. We don't know why. We got a bus to jump on another bus. Drove around the city for a while without going on the top level, and then came back to the bus depot and jumped on the other bus. That was the day.
I take it with excursions like that, you weren't at the top school in Melbourne then.
No, there's a reason I'm on the end of the desk on the project.
Can I just ask you about Collingwood before you go?
We're looking good, mate. We are looking good. 38 fit players to choose from. You wouldn't know if you believe the media. Apparently there's an injury crisis down there, but 38 fit players, although Jordan Ngoi, seriously.
Yeah, that's a bit fishy, this one.
Well, he broke his hand supposedly throwing a toy to his dog, hit his hand on the... Now, this comes off the back of Jeremy Howe last year throwing a frisbee with his dog. So I'm supporting Eddie Maguire's move to have all pets put down. why wouldn't you just weekend before the game just not be doing anything?
just chill out. Just take it real easy.
I mean, these guys are supposed to be on video games, you know, 24/7 these days anyway. But why wasn't he playing Grand Theft Auto or something?
Yeah. Now, funny, because you are playing the Dogs on Friday night too. Do you realise that?
It's all a little bit too much ironic omen for me. Yeah, and you watch Trav Klokic 7 straight this week. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing shorter than Trav getting his kicking boots on this week.
Yeah. Well, you've got a pretty tough draw too, Pete, without getting you too worried. But you got the Dogs, the Premiers, obviously. The Tigers are up and firing. Sydney. The Saints. Essendon are up and going again. The Cats, you'll be zipping six.
No, everyone says it's a tough draw. Yeah, okay. The Dogs are tough. Sydney round 3 is tough. Yeah, but Richmond aren't. We can't beat Richmond. We don't deserve to be there. You know, the Saints. Let's see how the Saints go. Essendon aren't up and about. Full of crap, Prosciutto.
Sorry, mate. I was just trying to get you nervy. Oh, good.
There's the headline we wanted. You're full of crap, Prosciutto. Just at the end of this. Hey, good on you, Pete. Have a good week. We'll talk next week.
Good on you, boys.
See you, Pete.
Peter Hellier. Ruin tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. Roo, amidst all the doom and gloom, good to see a little bit of money being splashed about in South Australia.
Yeah, a little bit of money being splashed about at Adelaide Oval. What is it now, about 4 years old or something like that, roughly? The Adelaide Oval decided to spend $9 million with a bit of an upgrade, and that's mainly to do with lighting. They're going to set up hundreds of LED lights for a couple of different reasons. So it'll be similar to a couple of world-class stadiums, Juventus Stadium. Is that how you say it? Juventus or Juventus?
Yep.
Juventus. And London's Stamford Bridge, two world-class stadiums that have light shows there that they say are spectacular. That's one reason Adelaide Oval are doing it, just to keep up with the best stadiums in the world. And secondly, the reason they're doing it is to try and reduce their energy bill by replacing them with LED lights from the power-hungry lights that they've got, because the Adelaide Oval's electricity bill last year tripled, going up by $800,000. So $800,000 taking off their bottom line at Adelaide Oval, or $800,000 more they had to make they broke even. Absolute crazy stuff. They've actually decided, Dits, to... there was talk of them getting some sort of generators or some sort of way to try and get more baseload power so that if they had a blackout, they could keep the show rolling there. But I've decided that to get rid of that because it's just not viable. Mm. It's not viable to have this facility there. So that's a bit of a shame. But the lights and everything at Adelaide Oval, just to take it to another level, that's good. They're going to do it... with a loan. They haven't got the money sitting there, so they're going to have a loan for 8 years for $9 million. So that's good.
That was good of you to lend them the money, Roo.
Yeah.
Now, the other place where there's money being spent, Monarto Zoo. I reckon this is good.
I like
now,
the sound of this.
Yeah, this is a... They liken this to the shark cage diving off Port Lincoln, which you know very, very well. They're talking about a lion enclosure where you'll go into a cage, a very, very big cage, by the way. They're building a tunnel and a huge cage, and you'll stand in there.
It's not too big.
Why?
Because I think you need to be close to get the feeling of what it's like.
So the lions, up to 30 visitors can get into this cage, and the lions will be all around you, and you can feed them and all of that sort of thing. And as I said, it's like going to the shark diving. I think this is fantastic.
And they're going to feed them right up close.
Yeah.
So you'll see their mouth, you'll see their teeth, you'll see the blood.
You'll smell their breath. Up close and personal. You'll hear them roar and your rib cage will
rattle. You want to shudder. You want to be scared when you're doing this.
Well, I've been lucky enough to do a thing. It's called Putting the Lions to Bed Tour. I did this a couple of years ago. My sons have done this as well. You go in there and at night and you bring the lions in and feed them through a cage, but you feed them these great hunks of meat and they roar in your face. And it's absolutely brilliant. It really is spectacular. Yep. So they're going to obviously make it a little bit bigger for more people to be able to experience it. But I reckon this will be great. This will be brilliant.
I can only say what the shark diving's done in Lincoln. It is absolutely brilliant. I've done it a half a dozen times and everyone who goes absolutely loves it. It's unbelievable. Mm. I think this will do the same thing for the zoo there. I think they'll get heaps of people there if they do it properly and Peter don't get their way and stop it.
Yeah, Peter aren't happy. Whoever he is, they're not too happy about
it. What does Peter stand for again?
I don't know, but anyway.
People that don't want you to do anything next to animals.
That's it.
Something like that, is that right? Yeah.
They shortened it to Peter.
What did they say? It was harassment.
Yeah, harassment.
What they're doing
of the
at Monado. Yeah, they said harassment.
You wouldn't want the lions in your living room. So
no, I wouldn't actually.
No, I agree
Unless
with
there's a cage
Peter,
around
finally
it.
We agree on something. You're absolutely spot on. So that's the lions in the cage. The other thing I heard a whisper to, which is exciting, they reckon about 30 rhinos are coming to Monado Zoo as well. About 30 new rhinos are coming. So they're going to call that the Rhino Room.
And Mel
the button pusher says, what do you say, Mel?
Well, there's going to be a strict process. They'll have to do a minute of improv, a bit of stand-up to make sure they're funny enough.
That's right. We only want funny rhinos.
Yeah. Have the fringe
but it's true. Mel, it is true, isn't it?
I read a bit more because I'd got an email from the zoo. I'm a member. It's more like 80.
What? You're a member of the zoo?
Yeah, I'm a member.
What do you get for your membership?
Well, you can go as much as you like all year.
Right.
And, yeah.
You get to go and see the rhinos.
And you get emails sent out with their news, obviously. So this is a breeding, an insurance population that they're bringing out here. So it's really pretty.
There's a lot of people who are members of the zoo.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Or for anyone with a kid's a member
of the zoo. Out of interest.
Exactly.
What does membership cost you per year?
$105 for an adult, and little kids are free. Right. I can't remember what kids are, but it'd be, somewhere in between.
The kids will go.
Because you could go every weekend.
Half a dozen times, 10 times a year.
And that would cost you a fortune if you were to pay every time you went.
Because you are a bit of an animal lover, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're trying to steal someone's cat in the street at the moment.
No!
Wait, how's that progressing? How's that going?
Well, we've bought a really good kitten food. We've named him Mitch. His actual name's Ollie, but he likes us better than his real owners. So.
Mel, that's the sort of bloke you're dealing with there. He sucked
just
you in. He had a nice conversation about animals.
Jump in with that one-liner about the rhino. Now I'll pot you to your neighbours.
Well, I need to expose you. You're feeding this cat that's someone else's cat up the street.
Yeah. He came to us.
Right, okay. Well, you stick with that story in court when you get taken to court by your neighbour. Just say, well, it kept coming to us.
Because we kept feeding him gourmet whiskers.
Anyway, good
Mel
news.
Mel the button pusher has now got a new name.
Exposed.
Oh, Mel the cat stealer.
The catnapper.
Catnapper.
Triple M. Ruined tits for breakfast.
Tits!
On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Good morning, Tex, once again. Now, Roo, I'll let you ask the hard question. Get into it.
How's your hamstring?
Yeah, good. Very good.
Give us a bit more than that. When you had your scan last week, what did it show?
I didn't show much at all. So I've carried on the program that Duncan Kellaway and Hassie have put down.
The PCT?
So
the PPT coach.
PPT.
Head of PPT.
Head of PPT.
Which is the Matt Hass.
Physical performance team.
That's right.
Yep.
Did you hear the song that they put together for that?
No,
we'll get it out for you in a minute.
Yesterday I did a pretty big session and got hit all my speeds and all my targets. So
you did 100% yesterday, did you?
100% of the training.
And how long did you train for yesterday?
I would have been nearly an hour, probably hour and a half.
Right.
Hour and a half. Yeah.
Going hard.
Yeah.
Right. Going so hard. That was Monday and you play Sunday.
Sunday. So then we've got our main session Thursday. And so if I get through the main session, I'll...
So you're going to have to go absolutely flat out through Thursday. And if you get through flat out on Thursday...
I'll play.
You'll play.
Yeah.
I reckon he's got a bit of confidence about him, Dits.
Hmm. What if you were 80%?
I wouldn't play.
You wouldn't?
What if you were 98?
It's got to be 100% or nothing.
Yeah, well, you're never 100% going into games, but...
You'd be hammy, could be.
Yeah, hammy could be, but I mean, like, you know what it's going from week to week, and but I'll be confident.
All right, so you get through Thursday. You're very confident. All
so
right,
if there's any doubt, you won't play, but if you don't feel it Thursday, you're in.
Correct.
Sloan in?
Yes, well, he'll do his training this week, and... Same thing if he gets through, he'll
play. But he's running around flat out.
Yeah, he's running around like a bloody cat on a hot tin
2-year old. Now, look, I know he's a champion player, but is in this day and age, though, Tex, quite seriously, if you don't play, aren't you really, really short of a gallop the way the game's played in this day and age? Will he be all right with that?
Yeah, we speak about that, and you'd probably go back to the experienced players and trust that the training that they've done, which is a little bit different to playing, that it would just get them through, and we know what sort of player Sloane is, and he's really professional, so we'll be fully confident that Sloane, once he gets through Thursday, that he'll be right to go.
With an eye, you can keep running. If he had an ankle injury or something like that and he missed 6 weeks of running,
yep,
then he'd be in trouble. What about Scott Thompson? Is he capable of coming straight in this weekend, or will he play SNFL, or is he not ready to even play that?
I'm pretty sure that the club said that Tomo and Crouchy were unavailable for round one.
That's all right. Okay. Well, so. What about GWS? They're a great side to watch. They're a great side to play against. It's a good start Sunday afternoon if you can knock them off.
Yeah, well, they've been spoken at the premiership favourites. So what better way to start the season Sunday afternoon, Adelaide Oval. Hopefully we'll get 50-odd thousand, room, and we'll see how good they've been through the pre-season, and hopefully come back next week with 4 points, Dits.
Mm. How's the women team going? They run into the girls after their victory on the weekend?
Nah, they don't want to talk to us anymore.
What do you mean?
They're flying.
That burnt you. Is that right?
No, just joking. How good is it?
What about Sarah Perkins? She was on fire. Old Tex.
Yeah, she's on fire, and so is Erin Phillips. I love watching Erin Phillips.
She was pretty good on the weekend.
Saw the real Tex stand up. Hey, there's two of them.
You could rap, Dits. Hey? You'd be a nice rapper.
What do you mean?
That sounded like a bit of a rap with a real tech stand-up.
Do you ever chat to the girls at all and sort of talk to them about how they're playing and give them a few tips or...
They don't want to listen to me.
Oh, come on, Tex. Sure.
No, well,
they would respect you. Perkins would absolutely love talking to you.
But you bump into them and probably the last... You know what it's like.
You say well done on the weekend, is that it?
Yeah, well done on the weekend and good luck next weekend.
See you later.
No, but it's sort of tough because as we're going out of the club, they're coming in and...
Yeah, right.
You'd have to stop and talk.
Tex talking to Tex. I'd love to hear that conversation. Now, listen...
I tried to a couple of weeks ago, but she was too busy doing a radio interview or something, didn't want to talk to me.
Is that right? All right. Now, just before we go to the break, last week you hit us with the PPT, and we have this thing with that Sam here at work puts together the highlights of the week. Have a listen to this. PPT. Physical performance team. Sing it, Tex. PPT. Boy. Boy. There you go. Bit of rock and roll. Tex, going to ask you about your top eight in just a moment. We've got your dad joke coming up as well, a real highlight every week. But first of all, you know, on a Monday, yesterday, we always have our phone for him. We just open the phones up, and you called in yesterday, which is terrific. No, we haven't got it? Oh, we'll get to it in just a sec. We'll get to that. Can we ask you about your top eight?
Yeah, you can.
Right. How do you see it?
I've got a couple of new additions. So two new additions. I've got ourselves, GWS, Swans.
Is this in order?
Crows, GWS, Swans, Eagles, Bulldogs, Hawks, and then my two that are going to come in are Freo and the Demons.
Freo?
Yep.
Why Freo?
I reckon they've got a great list, and they're going to get some really key players back in Sandilands, Fife. I reckon they'll get Bunnell back, Hamlin going over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam McCarthy looks good up forward with Kirsten, so I reckon...
I'll just get the date and time of this statement. Mm-hmm. Just record it, please.
So who goes out? Who goes out from this year?
I had Cats and whoever else finished in the eight last year.
Right, North Melbourne.
North Melbourne, yep. Cats and North Melbourne.
Cats could slide it. They're very reliant on Dangerfield and Selwood, but they're only a kick-off being in the granny last year.
So who just misses out then? In your eyes.
So Cats and North Melbourne, then Saints and Port.
So, yeah, St Kilda are going to be a big improver, aren't they?
They could be.
They are, yeah. I reckon it'll be out of them and Demons, but who knows, Ditch? You're probably driving along in your car thinking, what does Tex know? It's all a guess at the moment.
No, everyone respects what you're saying.
No, it's all a guess. Everyone's got their opinion or views on things.
You just can't bring it, you know, you haven't got it in you to say that Port Adelaide will make the eight, but I know deep down you think it. You just haven't got it in you as Crows captain.
I think you're the
say
only person, Dits, that I've heard of that have got Port in the eight at the moment.
No.
Who else has got Port in the eight?
Ken Hankley's mum.
The astute judges. The astute judges out there have got Port Adelaide in the eight.
Not one person at the AFL launch the other day had Port in the eight. Not one.
And they're all wrong.
They're all wrong.
They're all wrong.
Wrong.
Righto, now let's go back to the phone call. This is Tex ringing in yesterday.
Hey, Tex.
How are you, Tex?
Yeah, I just want to say to any Adelaide Crows supporters, have you seen the ladder?
What ladder?
The AFL ladder. We're on the top.
what do you mean?
You go to any site at the moment,
yeah.
Boys. I've seen it myself, and yeah. They do it in alphabetical order.
Hey, Jackson, did you work that out, or did someone tell you?
Hey, Ditch, you're 13 at the moment, mate. I rang Bernie.
Yeah.
They're 11th. guess who's on the bottom?
Who would that
Doggies.
Be?
Western Bulldogs. Hey. Anyway.
Right,
this bloke, he's at the bar. He's saying, "Hey, I love the look of you, mate. I love your suit. And there's no one around.
Mm.
And he hears all these things. You're a good-looking man, you know. And then the barman comes in. He says, "I'm hearing voices." And the barman says, "It's the nuts. They're complimentary."
Righto. Thanks, Tex. There you go. That was Tex yesterday. And good that we've got you back in again today as well.
Can you beat that?
Yeah, now, can we finish with your dad joke? What have you got for us, Tex?
Well, I was walking past an op shop the other day with Ellie, and right in the front window it said, there was an ad that said, "Television for sale, volume stuck on full." And Ellie wanted to keep walking. I said, no, I can't turn that down.
Not bad.
Tex.
Not bad.
Well, good luck at training Thursday, mate.
Yeah,
we all hope you
luck,
get through.
Tex.
And good luck against the GWS this weekend.
Come on, Texan.
The one and only Tex Walker, Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. 104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really, but we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
We've got Kelly this morning. How many weeks now, Kelly, till the big wedding?
Three. Countdown.
The wedding of the year, 3 weeks. We've got Ange, married to the package, Mr. Hello. South Australia. How are you, Ange?
Hello, good. How are you?
Good. And
I need
Alice
to get my own title, just not something that includes
yummy
my
mummy.
Husband.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, next time you win, Mr. South Australia,
one.
You can have that.
And how was the righto. First topic this morning. I was shocked when I heard this, but Sean Maynard in the newsroom had this story.
Not all blokes, not off. After doing the deed, it turns out some suffer from something called post-coital dysphoria. It's otherwise known as the post-sex blues.
Post-sex blues?
Well, it's been apparently, present company accepted, obviously, but blokes just fall asleep straight after.
Well, I think a lot of them do. We're tired. We've been working all day.
Surely this isn't true.
What?
Well, we're big cuddlers,
people
aren't
get
we?
The blues.
We're big cuddlers and everything afterwards. Alice the Wag, any comment on this?
Well, it's actually kind of unfair now that you mention it, because sometimes girls don't have as much fun as the boy, and then the girl can't fall asleep because she's like all excited, and
right.
Then the boy just goes, "Oh, see you later," and then you go, "Oh, well, thanks so much for that. Now I'm not going to sleep forever."
We give and we give,
no,
and then you still
don't.
Want more. Bloody hell. Gee, and
I'm the opposite. I fall asleep. Like,
not during.
I'm just so tired. Sometimes during, sometimes
package is worn out. Oh, package
come on.
Is worn out.
Come on, the
I'm
package,
done.
What are you doing?
The problem
can't
is
you
just
keep up with Mrs.
too late. Australia. It's just too late. I'm like, I need beauty sleep.
God.
No, but Rob's like up and about. He'll just like go up and start.
No
watching TV
for Rob.
And doing stuff, yeah. I'm the one that goes
and
to
a few push-ups.
Kelly.
I kind of agree with Ange, actually. I go to sleep too.
Oh,
I get really tired.
God. What sort of blokes are they married to, Ruth?
Good ones.
Blokes are wearing bloody bored you to death, haven't they? Righto. Right, now, this next one. You would have heard about this fella in North Queensland, young lad, who's jumped into croc-infested waters. Let's have a listen to him. He's a genius, this bloke.
Tell us about the backpacker. Why is she so special?
She's not really just another girl, but she's really good looking and been kind to me the night before.
So he decided to jump into croc-infested waters to impress her.
Yeah, to impress the British backpacker. Which he was a bit keen on her.
Something about that that's romantic.
What have you done? Would you go that far, Roo, for a girl? No. Well, come on, when you're a teenager, no. Up at Wakery at the river, you've done something stupid.
No, I haven't done anything stupid like that.
When I was in high school, there was a girl that I was absolutely mad about. And, you know, I had to do lots to get girls to even talk to me. To be honest. I had to go above and beyond. And I overheard her one day say she liked this certain band. So I went out the next day and bought the LP, right? Big investment for me in the day when I was in, you know, about 15 years of age.
Mm.
Went to CC Records and bought the album. And I walked around the schoolyard at lunchtime with the album under my arm, hoping that she would notice. Go, oh, are you into them as well, are you? And got zero, nothing. Did not even look at me. Didn't notice. I kept walking round and round and
did
round.
Did you do a similar thing to Kate?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right.
Didn't work you
with Kate.
Didn't
no, you work, with Kate. Yeah. Work with Kate. Alice, what has a bloke done for you over the years?
Well, one time when Macca's introduced that 50 Nuggets deal, I was driving with him and he said how much that I said how much I really, really like chicken nuggets. And so he must have been trying to impress me. He's like, I could eat 50. And then we went home and he ate 50 nuggets. I know. It actually kind of did impress me,
what
though.
What sort of size was he?
He was kind of like, he wasn't fat, but he wasn't skinny.
Plump.
Yeah. Like
bit
this.
Bit nuggety?
Yeah. He looked like a chicken nugget.
It smelt like one. Righto, Ange, what's a man done for you?
Nothing.
Oh, come like, on,
the
Ange.
The boring ones. No, nothing at all.
Right.
Not crazy like that. Okay. Just more in, you know,
just normal,
just more
stuff.
Gentleman, nice sort of stuff.
Okay, okay. That's crazy, fair enough.
Unfortunately,
right. Kelly,
I've had a boy fly from France to, I think I went to Scotland for my birthday before.
No.
Yeah.
And did it work?
No.
What happened? What happened?
Well, we'd had a good time in France, and then by the time I got to Scotland, I was ready to mosey on.
Right.
So, to the next man.
To the next, you know, adventure.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, my God. I just thought when I went to Canada to meet up with this boy once, I got there and he was so awkward and he had written me a song and sat me down on this couch with like a little amplifier and sang this song. It was the most horrendous thing I've ever. I like had to walk out of the room because it was so funny because it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like so awkward.
And what happened?
What was the name? Did he name
I ended
the song
up kissing
Alice
his best friend.
You kissed him.
Oh, wow.
What do you say?
It's like a dagger through the heart.
That's what the song was called.
Good on
get
you, girls.
Here,
well done,
Dits.
Angels.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
8:12, Ruin Dits. Thanks to Adelaide Tools. Don't forget about their big car park sale. Where is it, Ruin?
Oh, it's huge. Is it Paraka? This Saturday and Sunday, if you want anything to do with tools, you've got to get out there this weekend.
Okay. Ruin, over the months, you and I have spoken a lot about social media. We get a bit angry about it.
Awesome accountability.
I do. I want accountability as well. Now, the reason we're raising this again today, would you believe that in America, for the first time ever, a fella is in big, big trouble? Someone came out and said that he supported Trump, and this fella has gone on social media and absolutely abused him, and knowing that he's an epileptic, sent him a message where a light was flashing on and off, and he said, I hope you have an attack, and because epileptics can react to flashing lights and things like that,
yep.
Well, this fella did in fact have a seizure, and he tweeted him saying, I hope you have a seizure, mate, you know, for supporting Trump.
Yeah.
He has now had a seizure.
Yeah.
The wife has reported him to the police, and this fella that tweeted this is now in trouble. And
really?
I think good on him. Like, I'm sick of this. And I also want to mention one that's very, very local. Dylan McGowan, who plays for Adelaide United over the weekend,
yep.
Did nothing wrong, got elbowed in the face by the opposition goalkeeper from Brisbane Roar, copped a big black eye, so it was a serious elbow. He wasn't faking.
Did drop him?
He went down, but he bounced straight back up and just jogged off. He said, I wasn't trying to milk a free kick or anything like that. The ref awarded a penalty. The keeper got sent off. Adelaide win the game. Brisbane fans have gone absolutely berserk at Dylan McGowan. Now, you might remember that in recent times, his father has been charged with murder, in fact, accused of murder, and is now in prison in Scotland.
Yeah, I do that.
All of this stuff has come up on social media.
Mm.
You and I read every day here stuff that we cop in our job. It's
everyone who is on Twitter who's got any sort of profile absolutely
sick and tired of it. And I just want to know, will we get to the point where, you know what I'd like to see the law? I reckon you should have to have a license if you're online and actually use your name. Instead of all of these stupid pseudonyms that people use and make up, we never know who they are.
How long have we been saying this for? We're a couple of dumb blokes from Adelaide. Seriously, why isn't it already happening? Social media's been, how long's social media been around for? Is it 10 years? Is it 15 years? How long's it going to take before, if you write something in the paper, you're accountable? Unless you use certain words to get off.
Well, if we say something on radio, you're Mark Ricciuto, I'm Chris Dittmer. Everyone knows who we are.
What form? Why is it social media
different?
Void of it? Or
it's called media. Same. You and I work in the media.
It's a form of communication. I just can't get why the rule. Who makes rules?
Well, there aren't any.
If you want to change the law, who does that?
Well, the parliament. You put a bill forward.
Politicians.
Yeah.
Why aren't they doing it?
Because enough's enough, surely. It's just ridiculous. Charlotte Dawson, how many of those cases do we need? You might remember the beautiful lady that was on television who took her own life because of trolls on social media.
Kids are getting slammed every day. I reckon it's half why there's mental health issues out there is because young kids who are not worldly enough to be able to handle it, bullying online, are in real trouble for it. Why isn't that something happening? I don't get it.
Patrick Boylan is a managing partner at Duncan Bashir Hannon. He talks to us from time to time. He's a litigation expert. I want to talk to him about this right now. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, fellas.
Good. Patrick, you know the law. Are things changing? Are we heading towards an era where people will be accountable, do you think?
I certainly hope we are. Whether our laws are keeping up with it is another question. That case in the US is quite fascinating because it's very much akin with that bloke suffering from epilepsy to sending him a bomb in the mail or some sort of deadly chemical or something like that. Mm. We know that we've got laws about stalking, which includes cyber stalking. We do, however, know that they're very hard to prosecute, getting the evidence, whether people are coming out and saying things like, I'm going to cause you harm, I'm going to cause your family harm. There are issues around how many incidents of that do you need. Usually in, say, South Australia, you've got to be at least two incidents of that sort of threat, and they're very hard to prove. So we've got some laws, just how well they work, we don't know yet.
But why don't they, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever, why can't you have to not use your email address or your driver's license or some sort of form of ID that's thorough enough so you're accountable to it? And if you abuse people or do something wrong, then you just get banned from it, perhaps.
Yeah. I absolutely agree, but I can hear all the people who advocate for free speech and the right to express yourself.
As long as they're not saying I'm going to kill you, you can talk you got a freedom of speech in the correct way.
Yeah, and excuse me, this sort of thing, crosses that line. And look, it's probably time the government had a good look at these laws and made sure that they will work. And it's not only the state government, it's the federal government. So you could have somebody sitting in Victoria sending you a threatening tweet. Will South Australia law apply to that? Or should it be Victorian law?
Federal.
Good chance you'll fall between the gaps. So the federal government's got to step in. The states have got to get on board and all come up with the same laws. So the offences are the same no matter where you are.
Good point. Patrick, Mel, who works with us here this morning, I thought made a very good point. Surely you should be allowed to attack the, when you talk freedom of speech, attack the issue, not the person. So in other words, if I said something on air, I think people are within their rights with freedom of speech to get on Twitter and say, Ditz, disagree with you, you're an idiot, that's a bad idea. I think that's fair enough.
Not Ditz, idiot.
But to absolutely attack a person, in Dylan McGowan's case, whose father has been sent to prison for murder, and to attack him for all of that because he gave, caused a penalty on the weekend, I think is just getting out of control.
That absolutely is out of control. And if our laws are not able to deal with that, then the government needs to step in and strengthen all the laws.
Yeah. Patrick, good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us. Patrick Boylan from Duncan Bashir Hannon. Roo, I'm confident we will reach an age where,
is it going to take? Seriously, why isn't it happening now?
I suppose the other thing is what Patrick just pointed out. If state to state, what if it was country to country? What if in Australia we said, well, our rules are you must name yourself, but someone from America can still tweet us and say, you're an absolute moron, I hate you.
Unfortunately, you'd have to cop that.
So it needs to be international law, which is very very difficult.
That's not going to happen.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Nauru tonight on the ABC at 8 o'clock. This show, Life on the Line. Todd Sampson, good morning. Gee, I wonder what you got yourself into this time.
Yeah, I must say I had a few regrets as well.
let's run through a couple of the experiments, Roo. Read one of them out just for starters.
Well, it relies on the law of physics and how it all works. And sliding through a blazing inferno. That would be an interesting one for starters, see if you're going to get burnt or not and how that...
What's the idea behind this one, Todd?
So we're looking at heat capacity, and the experiment's relatively simple. So it basically says if you coat yourself in water, then if you can get through the flames before that water is absorbed, you should be unscathed. That's the idea. But if you don't, and that water absorbs, obviously it's 900 degrees, you will... Get burn all your skin off.
That's a fair risk to take. Your life in your hands there of the experiment.
Do you put little things up on the screen like, kids, do not try this at home?
You know, it's funny you say that because yesterday they made me, someone must have seen it in the regulatory area, and they made me come in and voice the warning, which is already, it's already at the beginning anyway. I mean, the thing for me with the warnings, right, and you know, because I get shot underwater with an AK-47, and I don't believe, and you guys know, I've been doing documentaries now for 8 years, and some of this stuff has been a little bit out there, but nobody has done an underwater Houdini escape and died, or no one has tried to walk between buildings on wires. I think the audience is smarter than that, but we need to warn anyway.
Tell us about that AK-47 you were just talking about. If it's fired underwater, what happens?
Yeah, well, nobody knew, including the armor. This experiment was one of the riskier ones. It's episode 2. And basically an AK-47, if you fire an AK-47, by the way, the AK-47 kills 250,000 people a year. So it's not a very nice weapon. If you fire it above water, it can go 2 kilometers. But if you fire it underwater, it shouldn't be able to hit me at point blank range at roughly 2.5 meters.
Really?
Because of resistance of water and Newton's third law, which basically is when it fires, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which should stop the bullet.
What did you get in year 12 for physics, by the way, Todd? Did you?
I did all right.
I did physics. I don't remember the AK-47 coming out.
I'll tell you what. Once people see that, and it's a good way to learn physics.
So if your teacher walks in tomorrow, kids, and he's got the AK-47, it's all about science. All right.
Well, they are going to put, I know because we've had to do the work on it, they're going to put it as part of school curriculum. not to shoot each other with AK-47s, but it is a visual way to explain resistance.
Now, I've got a photo here in front of me of you with a one-ton wrecking ball.
Oh, God.
Now, you let this ball go, and it says here the law of conservation of energy that it should prevent your skull from being crushed when the ball comes back towards you. But how on earth? If that ball hits you, I mean, I'm looking at the photo here, which obviously people can't see.
You're gone.
That has to smash your head to a pulp, surely.
Yeah, it would crush you. So that one was the most scientifically sound, which basically says if you release that ball based on the conservation of energy, it cannot go further than the point at which it was released. So I released it basically inches from my nose.
Right.
But the problem is some of the mechanical things were an issue, like the where we hooked it up at the top.
If that moved.
Was moving. And you'll see in the episode, it starts to move and we had to stop it. And then we nearly destroyed the heritage building. And then it was a big issue. Then they stopped the whole experiment. And we had to redo it again.
Yeah, good idea to get that part right, Todd. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking to you now. What about scaling a 13-story building with only vacuum cleaners and suction pads? like Spider-Man, aren't you?
Do you know what the best part of that was? Going to the shop to get the vacuum cleaners. And I'm saying, look, so I need these vacuum cleaners because I'm going to use them to climb a building. And the guy's going, what? And I said, which one sucks the most? And he's like, and there was a very funny moment where the guy said to me, it's in the film, and he said, you're going to need a really long extension cord.
This is an amazing show that you've put together. It really is. We'll be watching tonight, Life on the Line. It's on the ABC, and these are just some of the experiments that we're going to see. Todd Sampson, good luck, mate. This is fantastic, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Todd.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:44 Ruined Dits. Thanks to Adelaide Tools here on Triple M, South Australian owned and operated. Adelaide Tools. Just a little bit of footy goss around to start the season off, Roo, and these are good stories, actually.
Now,
there's
good.
A fella that you played with. Let me put it to you this way. Which former Crow is about to enter into politics?
Nigel Smart again.
Now, Nigel Smart had a crack, didn't he, in the Liberal Party? Nord, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yep.
Another one of your ex-teammates. Now, this will come out on the weekend.
How did you find out?
Well, because I know
him. On the grapevine? Oh, you know him. He's told you.
Sort of.
So you're going to break something now and ruin his announcement?
No, that's why I don't want to go too far. Because to be fair to him and to the party concerned, I think they should make, but probably just after the weekend, they're going to make a big announcement. But look for an ex-Crow, big name, well-known player, about to enter into career.
Well, give it to us.
No.
Do you want us to guess?
No, because it'll ruin it for him.
Oh, so you're not even going to say his name?
No, and what we might do is, once he announces it next week, we'll get him on, all right? And he can tell us about his ambitions.
Well, Labor, Liberal,
not one of the big
Pauline
parties.
Hanson.
Not one of those two major parties. One of the
Xenophon.
One of the real up and coming parties. All right, one of the parties making
so
a big noise at the
Hanson
moment.
Or Xenophon.
So look out for that. All right, that's all I can give you at the moment.
Is it City, South Australian, obviously?
Yeah. Don't ask any more questions.
From the city or country? Just give us that.
Both.
He moved to the city.
Might have, yeah. That's all. Don't probe me, please.
How many smart blokes at the Crows?
Anyway, now I'll get
to
my
smart ones from the country.
Let's get to my Port Adelaide stuff now.
Okay.
Yeah. So Port Adelaide, a lot of publicity about their move into China, right? Now, you'd say that this is where Koshy and Keith Thomas have done a very good job off-field. In that when they both went to the club, Port Adelaide, a lot of people said basket case, but you would say financially in a bit of strife. Well, they've turned all of that around.
They were in a lot of strife.
They were.
They've turned it around.
They've turned it around. All right. Now, I'm led to believe that as early as tomorrow, the Chinese relationship is going to start kicking even bigger goals. So financially, this is going to be a real boon for Port Adelaide.
Have they kicked big goals already,
have they?
They
have. And as of tomorrow, you're going to see... you're going to see a fair bit of publicity from tomorrow leading up to the game in Sydney about how Port Adelaide are kicking big goals with this Chinese deal.
Have you got any idea how?
I have, but I can't share it with you.
You can't share it?
No, because they're going to announce it tomorrow. Again, I can't rain on their parade. I can't
spoil
it for
them. You're doing the right thing,
but just wait until you see tomorrow. Our Prime Minister might even be involved.
Big Mao.
Big Mao. So it's going all the way to the top.
Really? Can you give us something on how that's going to work?
They're going to make a lot of money.
How are they going to make a lot of money?
Well, you'll find out tomorrow. Right. But you heard it here first. They're going to make a lot of money.
All right. So that's all poor people need to know, that the club's going to be in a good financial position. And the work they've done and time they've sacrificed over there, which has been a lot, has paid off, which is brilliant for them.
And that's what we want to hear. We don't want clubs like Port Adelaide to be in financial trouble. It's no good to anybody.
It's actually really bad. So if they can do that, that's brilliant.
And on the weekend, now, you know, we see Indigenous Guernseys each and every year now. Special
for
designs.
For Indigenous
wise.
Round?
Yeah. I think there's a special Guernsey even for this weekend.
For round one?
Yeah. I reckon Gav's been involved.
Is that something to do with this Chinese thing?
That's all I'll tell you. That's all I can say.
Right.
Is that enough for now?
Yeah, it's just got me thinking.
All right. Always leave the crowd wanting more. Oh. That's what I was told.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Controversial topic we're about to talk about here, Roo. Read this morning in the Advertiser an alarming story. I don't like this at all, about little old Adelaide. We're talking about Rundle Mall. There's a gang of kids, and they're saying that they're 10, 11, 12, 13 years of age, harassing shop assistants, being outrageously rude, and not just rude, but aggressive and nasty. And I won't repeat
the... staff are frightened. I don't even want to come to work.
One lady has said, yep, I'm too scared to come into work. So these kids are going to shops, and for some reason they're picking on high-end clothes shops.
Well, they're knocking off stuff. They're going in there and knocking it off. And
just throwing it on the ground and all of this sort of thing, and really causing mayhem.
Running amok,
out of control. Roo... it made me think, as soon as I read this, what are our rights, do you reckon? So let's say you or I walk into this menswear store, and some of the language they're using towards these shop assistants is very abusive. It's nasty. There's a lot of swearing involved.
Yep.
What would you do? Now, a 12-year-old boy standing there, and you happen to walk in, or you happen to be in the change room.
Three or four or five of them.
Yeah. And you come out. Now, and I can see that the young assistant's intimidated. Surely, as a male adult, haven't I got the right to say, hey, mate, stop it, calm down? And if he then has a crack at me, what can I do?
Shut up, Dit.
Yeah. go and get whatever, yeah, the kid would probably say to me as well, knowing that he looks at me and thinks, well, he can't do anything to me. So can I grab the kid and hold him down and say to the lady, ring the cops?
Well, if there's five of them, I reckon you'd be running a bit of a risk.
In what way?
Well, if there's five teenagers.
I'd like to see five 12-year-olds take you on.
Yeah, but I don't, yeah. Look, I'd definitely stand up and try and help the girl behind the counter, no doubt about it. If there was three of them, you'd be confident. If there's five or six of them, could be interesting.
Nah. Look, and I'm not talking about getting into a full-on fight.
Because they might be good kids just having a bad day.
Yeah, but it sounds as though there's a lot of repeat offending going on here and nothing's being done about it.
Yeah. Well, certainly if you knew that this was happening and you knew it was them, you'd probably be a little bit different. But if you were just strolling into the shop and heard it, you'd definitely say, settle down, you kids, what are you doing?
But do you think in that instance, and if it just kept escalating and they got more and more abusive and started having a crack at me or you, if it's you or I in that situation, do you think we got the rights to grab them and just hold them and then say to the lady, ring the cops? I reckon we have. I think we should have.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd get a bit funny when you start grabbing them and doing all that stuff.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Because if it was your kid.
But what's the alternative?
Yeah, look, there's obviously, they need to be caught and they need to stop doing it. I'm surprised it's even happening.
Yeah.
But it is, and it's a bit of a worry. So hopefully the police can get on top of it and catch these young punks who think they're having a bit of fun.
Now, there's a photo in today's paper. Surely one of the assistants could have said to the police, look, there's a group of kids, they're wearing this and wearing that. The cops would have found them up and down the mall within 5 minutes, surely.
Yeah, you know what? They probably did find them and they probably can't do anything about it. Probably got a slap on the wrist. Well, they've probably got a, you know, some sort of minor offence and they're back out doing it again before you know it. I don't know about that, but that's how it usually happens if you speak to people. Isn't it? They have to do something pretty bad or several times before they actually get anything bad happen to them.
Yeah. Again, and we can, this is generalising, I know, but I reckon I know your parents. I'll tell you what, my parents in the day, if I was an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old and I spoke to someone the way they have, my dad would have given me a belting. Yeah. It wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have, you know,
get
said,
the belt
don't
out.
Touch my kid. He would have said, you don't have to belt him. I'll do it. Don't worry about that.
Your dad would have been a good dad.
I came home one day from school and I said, Dad, my buddy got the strap today from Brother George. And he got on the phone to ring the school and I thought, oh, hello, he's sticking up for you. And he rang and he said, Brother George, there? Yep. He said, hit him harder. I said, oh, thanks. Terrific. So that's what used to happen in the old days.
Now you're an angel.
Yeah,
you wouldn't do anything
well.
Wrong. That's right. So you've learned a bit.
Get what you missed on Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the catch-up for Adelaide Tools' massive Paraka car park sale this weekend. All the big brands on sale. AdelaideTools.com.au. Triple M.